Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good afternoon. We are here again live, Elohim Crisis on the Radio, and today's question is a big one. Boy, there are many roads that lead to my father's mansion. Are you on one? That's a very interesting topic. Boy, we got somebody calling right away. Somebody wanted to put their hand up right away, so let me open up a mic. And since they want to give a shout out or just let me know that they're here, or let's see what's going on over there, okay? Good afternoon. Last number 3103 on the air. How are you doing?
Doing good, sir. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine. You want to make a shout out, or you just let me know that you're there?
Yeah, and I was going to ask you a question, actually.
Oh, yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was. I just saw the heading to the show, and it talked about there are many paths to my father's mansion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, by that, I'm assuming, are you saying that there's multiple ways to God, or what's the implication of that?
Well, that's a very interesting question. What I'm saying is that once you understand what the mansion is and what the mansion is all about, that will give you a better understanding or concept as to what they're actually saying when they say there are many roads or many paths to my father's mansion. I mean, we are, I am saying that there are many roads to get to salvation, many roads to get to your end game, whatever your end game is, if you have an end game. Most of us haven't even set up an end game to prepare or to work towards where we're trying to go, you know? And I think actually if I get more into the lecture, into what we're talking about, I'll be able to answer your question a little more, because it's more than just a path to the mansion. You have to understand what the mansion signifies and what the mansion means, you know? So once we get into that, then it will be better. Then you have a better understanding of what I'm talking about when I'm saying that there, or what the intentions was when they said there are many roads to get to my father's mansion. Because when you say roads to get to God, see, that's a whole other implication, you know. And then we have to get into what your concept of God is, you see, because we have many different viewpoints of what and who God is. So based on what your concept of God is, then that will give me an idea of where you're coming from or where you live at mentally as far as the question is concerned. Okay? So
okay.
Now, so what is your concept of God?
Yeah, no, I used to be an atheist, but now I'm a Christian. And
okay,
I think when Jesus made that statement of saying that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me, I think when a lot of people hear that initially, they hear it and they think, okay, well, he's saying he's the one path, and people don't seem to understand why he can say that. And I think when you compare all the different religions and their different views of salvation, I think both logic, justice, and basic reasoning makes Jesus' statement clear and very, and you see why, because it's only one that holds up under that actual scrutiny, you know. And there's I find it interesting, there's
okay, so based on what you're saying, I'm assuming that this is your first time calling, which is good. Now, I've been on the air for, this is about my 15th show, and we went over quite a bit of some of the concepts that we're dealing with, and why, although the teachings have been here for over 2,000 years, why we're still in the condition that we're in, why we're still lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, and we're coveting our neighbor's goods. Now, the religious groups can't seem to find common ground for peace. But the evil ones, they get together, sign a treaty, and they have peace. So something is wrong with the path that we're on, whatever path that there is, if I understand, because we're supposed to be in a right use mode of the information that we're getting. And we're not using the information rightly if we're still having trouble, excuse me, finding salvation and dealing with the people that's around us, okay? So what I suggest you do, right, just hang in there with us for a little bit, and let me go through some of the things that we're going to talk about. And,
okay.
And when I get close to what you're talking about, then you can jump back in. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave your mic open, right?
Okay.
So you can jump in at any time you want, when you get ready, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, as usual, the first thing we always do when we start the show, we talk about love. Being raised by this culture, They never taught us what love is. So we talk about love first. I do this every week because it's so important to know and understand what love is. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Now, you know, when you first meet somebody, y'all acting all good, real nice to each other, and then all of a sudden y'all hook up and everything changed. You say, who in the world is this guy? Who in the world is this guy? The other shoe drop. Because the acts that you were committing in the beginning, being nice to each other, the flowers and taking stuff out of dinner, that was actually the love, because love is an action word. And once we understand that the act that we're committing is actually the love, and that's what they are emotionally attached to, they're attaching themselves to the acts. Now, the heart has a neural network in it that communicates with the brain. You can research some of this stuff on the net, and this information is out there.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
I just have one thing to say. Your definition of love there, you said an action that causes others to feel good. Is that correct?
Yes, an act that makes others feel good. That's my definition of love. And when you first
I don't think that's an accurate definition of love. I mean, that's maybe how our current culture defines love. But like, for example, if you have a child and you love them, and you see them doing, let's say, a certain type of behavior that's destructive, you're going to discipline them, and that discipline obviously doesn't feel good to the child that you're disciplining, but you're doing it out of love for a purpose. So love is not defined as making someone feel good. Love is about desiring the greatest good for another person. That's why, like, if a person loves you, they're going to,
You're relating love with evil, see? Evil is forcing your will on somebody else. You ever heard the term necessary evil?
No, what I'm saying is, like, for example, I'll give you an example. Someone who really loves you would tell you what you need to hear, even if it may initially hurt, because their desire is for your best benefit. That's what real love. So love doesn't always necessarily cause something good to happen. It can cause negative feeling too. The issue is what's the actual intent and desire behind it. Is it for the benefit of the person, or are you trying to exploit them? Like, to your point earlier about the couple getting to know one another, the guy may be flattering the girl and bringing her flowers and telling her all these nice things that make her feel good, but his intention is just to flatter her so that he can have sex with her. So it may make her feel good, but his actual desire is not true. It's not true love. You see what I'm saying? So you got to be careful on your definition there.
She doesn't know what his intentions are. See, she's vibing off the feeling that he's giving her by her actions, by his actions. That's what she's vibing off of. Now, if he has ill intentions, he's hiding that from her because he has another agenda. But the actions that he's committing, that's what I'm saying. But see, that's not on her, that's on him. So if what she's vibing off of are his actions. That's what emotionally attaches her to him. Now, if he has another agenda, then he's going to do something later on. That's what I'm talking about, the other shoe drop. Once he get her, if he has another agenda, then something else is going to go on because he doesn't know what love is either. You follow what I'm saying? So if what we're doing is we have to redefine some of the things that this culture has given us because we're actually not in a good position as far as how we're treating each other and how we're making each other feel. If we understood the intentions of making a person feel good and we didn't have hidden agendas, then everything would go smoothly. You would be with your mate for a long time. But once you hook up with the person, then the other part comes in. Oh, you're mine, you got to do what I tell you, I'm the head of the house, and all this other nonsense comes in, and it literally destroys the relationship. This is why the religious groups, they have a larger divorce rate than non-secular groups. Because
that's your problem right there. Is you keep approaching this issue looking at people as a collective versus on the individual basis. If you take what Jesus talked about in the Gospels, he talked about wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But the path that leads to life is narrow, and there are few that are on it. So even in that, we see that, and we see that in life everywhere you go. It's not about the collective, what the majority is doing. Each individual is responsible for their own decisions, ultimately, at the end of the day.
And so you can't approach this subject as like from a collective point of view. It's just it doesn't apply.
Well, I haven't done that. See, we're saying the same thing. You see what I'm saying? It's just that the thought process that you're using brings you into that collective mindset, but that's not where I was actually going. You see what I'm saying? Because everything that we do is from an individual basis. That's why they said there was many roads that lead to my. That's why I said there's many roads that lead to my father's mansion, because as an individual. We all don't take the same path to salvation. And this is part of the mindset that those that are using the teachings of the holy ones to enslave and corrupt our mindset so that we're fighting one another. I mean,
you got to be careful with that. Let's like look what you're saying here. I mean, what I talked about was the issue of personal accountability. Not a personal. I'm not talking about someone having a subjective or arbitrary decision on how they want to attain salvation. I'm talking about a person's accountability on what they do. So most religions, if you agree with this, believe in the concept of good and evil, and that the afterlife you're rewarded based upon the good and evil that you do. So what I'm referring to is how a person conducts themselves personally and then being accountable. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about individual versus collective. Like when you brought up the divorce rate amongst religious people, that's addressing an evil that's being done by a collective. Now, you can't judge good and evil based on the collective group. You have to go on an individual basis on that.
Well, see, that's not necessarily true because the individuals that are getting divorced. You see what I'm saying? All we're doing is counting the individuals together.
Yeah, but it's not every individual, though. Each person has a different thing.
So you're taking me out of context, see? And see, each individual, as they progress in life, they have a certain thought process that brings them to certain conclusions, okay? And when you encounter a person that are under the different groups, or whatever the religious frame of mind that you're under, most of the people in that group, not all of them, but most people in that group have the same thought process. Like if you talk to a Muslim, that's a certain thought process they'll have. You talk to a Christian, that's a certain thought process they'll have. You talk to somebody that's a Buddhist, that's a certain thought process they'll have. And based on the thought process, that's the conclusion that they'll be coming to. What we try to do, or what I'm trying to do on this show, is to elevate the thought process so that we can be more in harmony with each other. See what I'm saying? So that everything that we talk about is not a big debate. It's a matter of understanding where each person's coming from and finding common ground for peace. See what I'm saying? That's basically what this show is about right now. We have
what you've done though is a very interesting point that you sort of missed in this thing is that, for example, like if me and a Muslim, example, we have completely different beliefs. Our beliefs pretty much contradict one another, so there's no agreement even possible. Let me make a point here. Though even though I may disagree with him, I can still love him and have respect for him. And don't have any animosity towards him. But that doesn't mean that I have to now compromise with my belief system to somehow reach a common ground to create it. I mean, for example, you and I, we don't share the same view, but I can respectfully disagree with you, still love you and respect you. We would just not have the same view of you. But that doesn't mean now that you, in order to attain that, you have to now compromise your own belief system and reach some common ground between you two. That's ridiculous. Now you've lost your convictions.
I never even suggested that. See what I'm saying? You're taking
I'm looking at each statement you've made, and I'm seeing how it can influence the mind of any listener here to lead to certain conclusions, and that's why I'm making these objections along the way. Because it's very clever how you're doing it.
Now, it depends on the listener, you see what I'm saying? What your thought process and what you're getting out of this conversation is strictly for you. Now, there's at least 15, 20 people on the line, and well, I got some hands up now. So they're listening. So let's take this and let's bring some other people on and get some of their views and how they think about what's happening, okay? So just hold on for a second. I'm still going to leave your mic open so you can jump in if you want, okay? Okay, caller 5298, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or something you want to say in reference to what's going on?
Yes. Peace out there. This is Brother Will. I am. What's going on, Brother L?
You doing?
Okay. Okay. Greetings to everybody out there that's listening. Well, when you're dealing with universal laws, and that's the problem with most of us right now, because we're in a conscious set of mind. When you're coming into the golden age cycle, we're coming into a conscious now that's awakening. So, what's going on is with parts of people have an individual thought process. A belief system is what's got us jammed in the first place, because we shouldn't be about believing, it should be about knowing. Because if you go look up the actual word belief, the true nature of the word, not what somebody told you in school, but if you go actually look up the natural definition of that, going back into Latin and Hebrew and all that, belief means to be ignorant or to ignore. So I don't believe in anything. If the belief system is what's got us jammed us up. Now, a belief system was called religion, for you to have a Christian and an Islam and all this and that. But universal law should be under one. So it should be under a belief system, and that's what got us jammed up now, because it is a mental process, what different people are, because the mind is the most powerful thing. That's how all things exist in the universe, through the mental. This is how you got here, through the universe, through the mental, of the infinite divine. That's how you came into play. And you know, and I ask anybody out there, if you can't add from the Creator and you can't take away from the Creator, how do you exist?
This is really easy to address. I mean, it comes down to, for example, you can put the world belief system aside. We can talk about worldviews. You, I, and every human being on this planet has a worldview. And your worldview constructs how you view things, how you deal with ethics, and it's based upon certain evidences, whether it's empirical, whether it's just philosophical, whether it's based on emotional reasons. All of us have a worldview that's based on that. And so what we do is, the question that's on the table is, which worldview is the most correct in light of the evidence that we currently have? That's how you approach the subject.
My answer to that comment is this. The answer is, first of all, with all thought process, I'm starting with universal law first before world. And see, that's the problem. Everybody thinks the world is the infinite law, and it's not.
Look, you're just throwing in a word there. Doesn't change the meaning. You get exactly my point.
No, it does change it.
You're just saying it without saying it by just trying to use little terms. But your point isn't.
No, hold on, brother.
Hold on. Let me jump in here for a second here, guys. We're getting a little bit out of hand here. The thought that you threw up as far as the question of the day, that wasn't it. See what I'm saying? The question of the day is that there are many roads to lead to my Father's mansion. Are you on one? That's the question, okay? Now, we're going someplace else that's not part of what we're talking about today, but what we're dealing with is that there's a lot of views out here, and everybody thinks that they're right, and everybody's pushing their agenda as if it's right. And what I'm saying is that you're not wrong, but the other person's not wrong either. So rather than getting to the big long debate as to who's right, let's accept each other's views, right? Put your view out. Let us hear your view, and then let me move on, okay? I'm going to open your mics back up. I just did that for a minute just so that I could jump in here.
This is Brother Will Am, and this is all I'm stating. I'm not stating no more, no less. And it ain't got nothing to do with big words, because the English tongue is the language of the dead. It's the only language that goes backwards. So the thought process of America is backwards anyway, because you've been taught the English tongue. So I'm not even going to the big words and all this and that. All I'm saying from where I'm standing, and I'm not arguing with nobody or trying to debate anybody, what I'm standing on is that I don't start from world. I start from universal law. Universal law is in effect even if somebody recognizes it or not. All things all the way down to a piece of grass has to abide by universal law. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's the only place I'm coming from. I'm not judgmental. I'm not debating. I'm not here for a debate and all this and that. And I'm not trying to use big words or whatever, because big words are irrelevant. Words are spells, so that's all irrelevant when you're dealing with words. And that's all I want to get out there.
if you believe in the universal law, then you believe in the law of non-contradiction, right? That's a logical principle. You agree with that?
Contradiction, yeah.
Okay, so if A and B contradict one another, they cannot both be correct. Either they're both wrong or one of them is right. You agree with that?
No, what I would say
you don't agree with that?
Question. I'm answering that question. You ask a question, let me answer it. What I'm saying is this. It's not about right or wrong, because where eternity is at is in the balance, not on one side or the other. When you're in balance, in the middle of from one side or the other, that everything is correct. That's what I'm saying.
So the first question was wrong or D is wrong.
It's not about if A was wrong. The balance. The balance would be the correct answer. In balance.
Okay. Listen clearly what I said, because I don't think you caught it there. My first question to you was: do you believe in the law of non-contradiction, which is a logical principle? You claimed the universal law, you have to agree with this principle, right?
Yes.
What I said to you is that if A and B contradict one another, pay attention to what I'm saying, they cannot both be right. Either one of them is wrong or they're both wrong.
This is what I'm saying.
So
the
you're saying no to that?
Is that A and D is on a different dimension. When you're dealing in a universe.
Different dimension?
So A and B would never be on the same. So that's just like putting a ball. That's just like putting a ball up against a triangle. It's not, because they're on different levels. But both of them have a.
Has nothing to do with what we're talking about, man. I'm asking you about the law of non-contradiction. If A says 2 + 2 = 4,
A and D is always going to be opposite of each other, because they can't be on the same parallel.
No, that's not it at all. Listen, man. Okay, I won't use A and B.
That's universal law. That's your
ball. All right, guys. Hold on. I want to jump in here again. Hold on. See, now, on this show, okay, everybody's viewpoint is relevant, okay? And what you're doing, you're challenging each other's views as if to change the other person's opinion or mind. That's not going to happen, okay? What is right now, we get your viewpoint, I'll shut your mic off. We get his viewpoint, I shut your mic off, and then we continue moving down with some of the, because there's a lot of things we want to cover today. So we continue moving down the line, all the things we have to cover. Now, some of the thought processes that I'm giving you are pretty far out there. You've never heard them before. You haven't dealt with them, especially if it's the first time calling the show. So what I'd like for you to do, I'm going to go back to caller 3103. Give us your viewpoint, and then I'm gonna pull your mic. And then I'm going to go back to 5298. You give us your viewpoint, and I'm going to pull the mic, and then we're going to discuss some of the other things that we have to go through, okay? So here we are. Let's see here. Get this mic working here. So 3103, your mic is back open. Give us your viewpoint, and let us hear what conclusions that you're actually coming to here.
Okay, so to your initial statement as a host, you coming from a position that you think truth is relative and that it's a subjective thing to each person, like just a preference. I disagree with that fundamentally. I believe there's such thing as absolute truth.
I never said anything like that.
You implied earlier about people having different preferences and that it's relative to each individual. That's ultimately not really true, because if things are like that, then everything is permissible.
Well, you're using words that aren't used. I said people have different points of views, just like you have a point of view, and 3298 has a different point of view, and we all have different points of view. So what we need to do is just give our point of view, and let the person digest where you're coming from. See what I'm saying?
The thing I was trying to establish with him was he's bringing up the universal law, and I said, well, one of the key parts of that is the law of non-contradiction. It's a logical law or principle. And what I tried to get him to understand, he agreed with the initial statement. Then when I told him, if A and B have a different view on the same topic, they cannot both be correct. They can't both be right at the same time. That's what the law of non-contradiction says. They either are both wrong or one of them is right. But you can't have a contradicting view on the same topic and both be correct at the same time. That's what relativism, which you may be believing in, can say. that if I and this other person look at the same situation and we're saying, well, I'll give you an example. If I say 2 plus 2 is 4 and he says 2 plus 2 is 5, if you're a relativist, you would have to concede the fact and say, well, you both can be right. Well, I believe in a world that has absolutes and exclusives, so the law of non-contradiction says either we're both wrong or one of us is right. And that's what I was trying to establish with him, but he agreed with the first part and then disagreed with the second part and started talking about we're coming from two different dimensional angles, which, I mean, I don't even know how that's relevant to the topic.
Okay, well, I have your view. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull your mic, and we're going to go get his view so he can tell us exactly what he means, okay? Brother 298, Brother William, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Give us your view.
Okay.
So we can know exactly what you mean.
What one point he made is exactly correct when he was talking about everything is permissible. That is also, that's true, part of universal law, okay? Now, what I'm saying is this with the A and the D. And you're talking about if 2 plus 2 is 4, and he says 2 plus 2 is 4, and I say 2 plus 2 is 5. Actually, 2 plus 2 is 5 under universal law. But I can answer that later if you want me to answer that, because that's the correct answer in universal law. And all I'm saying is where I'm coming from is A and D, according to universal law, not just one law that you're talking about, it's 106. And I can deal with all 106 of them. So you're talking about one of many. But anyway, what I'm saying is this, that A and D will always be at disagreeable ends, because there would not, because when you go into universal law, now you're dealing with dimensions, you're dealing with parallels, all these things got to be factored in. So A and D would never even be on the same level. They will always be opposite because they're not on the same parallel. That's all I was stating. Now, I could overthrow this question clearly. But like I said, everything I'm going to answer from universal law and not just one, all of them. Because all the universal law brings everything back to balance, and that's where eternity is at, in balance. That's how when he's talking about in the Bible when he said the earth was in balance, the universe is in balance. It's the supreme darkness is one. It's in balance. So before we came into play as beings, that's balance. You're dealing with everything has to balance itself out. That's what this sun cycle is about that you're in now. That everybody's talking about December 1st, 2012, according to the equinox. You're in this last sun cycle. Everything has to be in balance. Nothing can be hidden. Everything has to be revealed. That's why all this, everything is going on right now as it is. This is universal law. All of them.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we have your view, and I'm going to pull your mic, and I'm going to make a comment, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you first start algebra, right, they tell you have apples and you have oranges. I know I'm not trying to belittle the conversation. I'm just bringing it in the way I see it, okay? You have apples, you have oranges. Some people like apples, some people like oranges. If you like oranges, you're right. If you don't like apples, you're right. If you like apples, you're right. If you don't like apples, you're right. There's not a question of whether which one is the best one for everybody. Which one is the best one for you? Which one do you like? You can't be mad at me because I like oranges. And I can't be mad at you because you like apples, even though apples and oranges don't mix. You follow what I'm saying? So we're not trying to join the apples and oranges together. We're just trying to find out which one you like, okay? And if you like apples, then that's fine. We understand that, and we're going to move on. If you like oranges, we understand that, we're going to move on. But we don't want to mix the two because apples and oranges don't mix, okay? And this is sort of where the conversation is going. Now, I want to say something here that would give some clarity on what's on my mind as the show progresses, okay? The name of our group is called the Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah. Now you say, how can I mention Christ and Allah in the same breath when the Muslims and Christians are out there killing each other over what they believe or what they think is correct? Because both of them are so stern in their beliefs that they feel as though that any change will compromise where they come from, so they have to fight it out. So each one take the other one's territory, and then they'll establish whether it's going to be a Christian territory, whether it's going to be a Muslim territory, okay? Now, according to the teachings of Muhammad, right, he was about peace and love. According to the teachings of Jesus, he was about peace and love. Yet we have taken these two wonderful people's teachings and we're killing each other, murdering, raping, everything else that's going on in these people's names. Something's wrong with that picture, okay? Now, my explanation of what Allah is everything in the universe at the same time. And the consciousness of the universe is the Christ. Christ consciousness of the universe. Some people call it divine consciousness. They call it many, many things. But the Christ, that consciousness, your conscious, is because of the Christ consciousness that permeates the entire universe, okay? And Allah is everything in the universe at the same time. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So we teach that you were not created. You are an extension of the universe. See what I'm saying? Now, with that thought process, that brings you to different conclusions as you think about life. If you have a creator, that means that in your mind, you're less than and not equal to something. Everybody has a creator for you. Everybody has some God for you to worship. There's something wrong with that picture, because it's giving you a slave mentality, and what we're trying to do is wake you up from that slave mindset, okay? If you, in the scriptures, there's portions in the Bible where separate Jesus from Christ. Jesus said, my Father is greater than me. See what I'm saying? But yet some groups make Jesus the all in all. And Muhammad said Allah is one. So yet some groups are making Allah he, or making Allah a man, you know? So we're using these wonderful teachings from these different people and turn it into a slavery-type mindset so we have control over what's going on with the people. I studied the teachings of Jesus. That's what I follow. I follow the teachings of Jesus. Jesus never collected a tithe. He never collected an offering. But yet we're collecting tithes and offerings all over the place. Are we following Jesus? Who are we following? Then we come back to Muhammad, okay? Muhammad banished slavery and a whole bunch of stuff that he did to make everything more comfortable for the people that were there. But slavery is back and everything else is back. So as you travel your journey, going where you're going, what are you trying to accomplish and what do you hope to end up as by the time you get 80, 90 years old? You know, that's your end game. And if the way of life that you have chosen, that's what religion to me, religion means way of life. If you've chosen the Christian way of life, if that way of life is going to get you to your end game, that's where you should be at. If you've chosen a Muslim way of life, if that's going to get you to your end game, that's where you're going to be at. And if you're on a universal mindset, dealing with universal law, if that's going to get you to your end game, that's where you should be at. Okay, now I'm gonna open you guys' mics back up just in case you want to comment on what I just said, because I just said a mouthful, okay? So 3198, if you want to comment on what I just said?
Yeah, I can. Let me just address that really easily. First and foremost, when you talked about the whole thing about trying to compare Muhammad and Jesus to be similar to one another, that could be easily done to someone who has a shallow understanding of that. But the old saying being the devil's in the details comes down to when you actually study them in depth and you look at them and you see how much different the two men are. And it was epitomized no more than in the story of the woman caught in adultery, which is a famous story about Jesus many people know. The exact same situation was presented to Muhammad by the Jews of his day. He told them, bury her in the ground up to her neck and stone her to death. And another situation, Muhammad and his men had captured a certain area, and his men came to him saying that...
That's not in that's not in the Quran. You know what I'm saying?
That's in
Muhammad
the Hadith.
No, he didn't write the Hadith.
The Hadith is a biography on his life. That's how we know about Muhammad. Outside the Hadith, we don't know any details about his life. The Quran barely talks about Muhammad's actual life. How else do you know anything about Muhammad?
No, see, that's the point I'm making, see? Muhammad wrote and sanctified the Quran. He wasn't here when the Hadith was wrote, so he couldn't verify.
Okay,
what the
so you want to be strictly, if you want to deal strictly with the Quran, let's deal with that. In the Quran, Muhammad claims that Jesus wasn't crucified, that Allah took someone else that looked like him and had him crucified instead and took Jesus directly to heaven. And the Quran goes on to say that Jesus is not the Son of God. So now, how can you sit there and say these are from the same things, the same, when they make a blatant contradiction on a very key subject?
And then only a fool would say this, mind, oh, these are the same thing and we have a common ground. There's no common ground on that. Now, for you to sit there as a relativist and talk about apples and oranges and premises, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an answer to a question, and two people have different answers to the same question. That's not an issue of preference. That's an issue of truth. So there's such thing as exclusive truth. Everything is not relative, man. And you're only saying that because as a spiritualist, you're trying to escape being accountable to God or being accountable to any authority. So you want to go to this world of relativism where there's no real right or wrong. Everything is okay. And basically you can do whatever and not be accountable to it. And you're trying to use all this spiritual jargon to fool people. I know what you're about, and I know who you work for. Okay, I know the spirit behind what you're doing. And you think it's like you're just repeating the same stuff that the devil sold to Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's the same lie. You want to elevate man to a God status. That's all it is.
I'm out of the question.
And you want to get God out of the picture.
Yeah, at this point, you're making assumptions that I never even made. So we're going
to
I listened to everything you said,
and I'm responding to each of your statements clearly. That's exactly the implication of what you're doing. You want spiritualism without a God to be accountable to. That's it. Just be honest about it.
No, that's not exactly what's going on. Okay, now I'm going to go back to 5298.
I'm
going back to 3103. That's where I'm going. 3103.
Just
got to
talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting things a little screwed up here. So I'm going back to 5298. That's where I'm going. Let's give him a chance to comment on some of the things that I said.
Okay, I don't know what's going on there with dude and you and all that. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with all that because all that's irrelevant to me. I was just making a statement. I'm just saying this, and I deal in universal law and all of them because all religion that was created by man came out of the universal laws. Nothing can escape it. Nothing in the universe. Nothing. No planet. Nothing. And that's all I'm stating on. So all this other stuff, that's him. It seems like he just want to debate everybody. So I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know the guy. I ain't got nothing against him. But I'm just speaking on me. And that's all I was speaking on from Jump Street. We don't got all this other nonsense that's going on here. And I don't even know what that is. But I'm just speaking on me. I personally come from universal law, and that's all I'm standing on. That was just my statement from the beginning.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely great, and that's what I want. You follow what I'm saying? This is because on this show, we're not here trying to convince anybody that the Christian point of view is right, the Muslim point of view is right, the universal law point of view is right. We want to hear the points of views. Okay, and don't condemn me because I have a different point of view. This is how wars start. Okay, that's why I'm trying to tell people how to purify their heart. You shouldn't have an enemy, but you should know when somebody view you as an enemy, and you make an adjustment accordingly. You follow what I'm saying? But you do want to know where they're coming from, and that's what's going on. We want the different points of views. We want to hear what you have to say, but if you think that you're going to change my mind, it's not going to happen. And if I think I'm going to change your mind, that's not going to happen. We're not going to change each other's minds. But if we allow each other to hear what the point of view is so that everybody can hear where you're coming from and what your point of view is, maybe it might help somebody and it might not. But we're not here to belittle or down anybody for what they think and what their views are. We really would like to hear all of the views from the people that are in the audience, and we have we got a full board here. And so I'm going to move on to some of the other things that I wanted to get into. Mostly what we were talking about just now was about the Christ consciousness and how this consciousness permeates the entire universe. That's my view on everything. And I know I've talked to one person. He actually got mad because that was my view. And, well, I can't help how he feel or what his thought process is. But that's how I view, and that's where I'm coming from. Somebody asked me, do you believe in the Bible? I said, I don't believe in anything because I can't verify anything. I can't talk to Moses to find out if that's what he said. They asked me, do you believe in the Quran? I said, I don't believe in the Quran. I don't believe in anything. I can't talk to Muhammad and find out if that's what he really wrote or that's what he really meant. So what I do, I go into the books, the Bible, the Quran, Asi Begas, I go into all of them. And whatever's in there that's going to make me a better person, I take that out. And the stuff that I don't like, I leave it in there. That's just me. I'm just giving you my view on what I do, you know, because we're fighting, we're killing, we're murdering, we're lying, we're cheating, we're trying to dominate one another all over the planet under the names of these different religions. So something's wrong with the thought process, whereas the wicked, evil ones can sit down, make up a treaty, and have peace. But the religious groups, they can't come to the table and agree on nothing. They can't have no peace. They're fighting all the time because they're so stern in their viewpoint that there's no room for anybody else. That's one of the reasons why I like the teachings of Jesus. You know, people say, well, oh, my goodness, that's I don't like the Bible. The Bible is a very powerful book. That's my opinion. The Bible is a very powerful book. And when the centurion came over to Jesus, he didn't question him about his views and what he thought, and we can't get together. When he knew he had enough faith in what Jesus was doing to say, come to my house and help cure my faith. And Jesus said he had more faith than some of the people around him. He didn't question the thought process, which brought him to that conclusion. And this is what we're doing. We're constantly questioning the thought process that brings us to whatever conclusions that we come to rather than understand one another so we can sit down at the table and help each other out. We don't help each other. You got 40-something different branches of Islam, close to 60, 70 different branches of Christianity, and they're not talking to one another. You know, they're arguing with each other back and forth because one little point is different than another little point, and they get together arguing over that point when the most relevant thing is food, clothing, shelter, and security. How are we surviving in this country? What's going on here? The evil one is racking up much stuff because they're working together. They're working together to do evil. But we can't work together to do good. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with that picture. And we need a new thought process to bring us to better conclusions. Somebody said to me, oh, brother, I want people to treat me like they treat themselves. I laugh and smile. I said, I don't want people to treat me like they treat themselves. People hate themselves. Smoking, drinking, drugs, eating all the wrong foods, they dying from all kinds of stuff. Please don't treat me like you treat you. Treat me like Jesus treated you. Treat me like Muhammad treated you. Treat me like one of the prophets treated you, and then we'll be on the same page, you know? So I see we've got a couple of hands up, so I'm going to open the mic back up here. And about 5298, you have some more comments you'd like to make on what we're talking about?
Nah, man. I mean, this energy here is just all off whack. I just sound like a disagreeable motherfucker on your call, just trying to disagreeable. And there ain't nobody here about learning or trying to even hear somebody. It just seems like everybody's coming on to have a debate, and you can't never get knowledge out of debate. Some people just like to debate. So sometimes anything that you say, they're going to have a debate for it. So I ain't going to sit me getting in that. That's wasted energy for me, so I don't need to participate in that. But I'm good, brother. Peace.
Okay. Well, let me move on to some of the other things that I want to talk about. Well, before we do that, I'd like to do a little commercial here, so that to give a shout out to some of the people that I think have good shows and are doing different things for us. You know, this is the Elohim Radio Show. We're on every Sunday at 3 p.m. U.S. time. The call-in number is 646-564-9888. Press 1 on your dial if you want to speak, and we'll bring you in to give us a shout-out, and we'll request you to call in. And we also have a gospel CD that was just released. It's called 911 Jesus Emergency. The link for that is cd.com/philippinescrisis2. Come and check it out. I have a book on the market called Philippine Scriptures Part 2. You can go to the link and check out the book if you want. And the title of the CD is Jesus Coming, and we ask ourselves, where is he coming from? How is he going to come? We think it's going to come from the same place he came from last time, out of one of the goddesses. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're carrying, what you do with what you're carrying, because it's very important, okay? And also, right after me, we have the Will I Am show that comes on every Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern. Brother speaks about a lot of law. He's dealing with the university law. And that number is, in fact, that number is 218-632-1460. The PIN number is 726-47687. Press pound and put you right on the air or listen to the operator to let you know what's going on. That's the Will I Am show. Right after we go off, Will I Am be coming right on, so you can call him in and find out more about universal law. And if you have anything about law, Will I Am can answer for you, because he's pretty adept at the law and stuff, okay? And I also like to give a shout out to Horace Butler, because he I read his book, and he's one brother, I think, that understands history, and I like where he's coming from. His book is called When Rocks Cry Out. So if you get a chance, go in and go in and purchase the book, give brother some support, and you're going to learn a lot from that book. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. Comes on every Thursday at 347-215-8040. That's her number. She comes on, and she's a very I like where she's coming from. She does spiritual readings over the phone. I was amazed at some of the stuff that she came up with. Okay, so give her a call. She comes on at 10:30. I think she's on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as well. I'd like to give a shout out to the Black Cross Nurses of Division 178. That's at 53rd and Girard, Philadelphia, headed by Basima Muhammad. Now, her calling number is 215-796-0366. I'd also like to give a shout out to RBG Industries. He makes clothes and flags. Now, if you want something to wear, some pins to put on, he's the brother to call. He's out of Jersey. His number is 609-638-5828. And also, we have a couple of new shout-outs here. I would like to give a shout-out to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style out of Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. And if you just Google CD Baby and then type in Yesterday's Child, you can access some of his CDs and check them out. The call-in number is 267-259-4077 if you want to find out more about him and what's going on. And also, we have another new shout-out by a brother called Brother Patrick. He has a group out called Gospel Bound. They just released a new CD, and I listened to it about 3 times. It's really good. The music is really, really tight. So if you get a chance, check them out. If you want to book them or put them on a show, his number is 215-407-1419. That will be Patrick, okay? And so there's our shout-outs. We also have the Legacy of a Nation that comes on every Sunday. That number got away from me. But he's on every Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we'll make sure that I'll text the number so everybody can get it, okay? Now, back to where we were in the course of this conversation. Now, see, this is what's going on. We have a lot of things that are keeping us from being with each other. A lot of things that are keeping us from, I lost my page here. I got to get my book. We have a lot of things that are keeping us fighting, arguing, and dealing with each other in a negative manner because we disagree with each other. There's nothing wrong with us disagreeing with each other, but we need to be put ourselves in a position where we can sit down and listen to each other, okay? And that's what's going on. We're not giving ourselves an opportunity to come together so we can work together. The evil ones get together, they plot, they plan, they work together, they do everything. We are righteous and holy and everything else, but we can't sit down for 5 minutes. without trying to figure out how to get everybody to think like we think. Well, that's not going to happen. Everybody's not going to think like you think. But one thing that you do have to understand, we need food, clothing, shelter, and security. We need that. And we're not making our food. We're not making our homes. We're not providing our security. And we're not providing the things that we need for ourselves. Why aren't we doing that? What path are we on that we can't come together and work so that we all can make it to the end game that we're trying to get to? Okay? What have they done to us? What type of education have they given us to put us in that type of frame of mind? If you're not in my group, I can't play with you. If you don't think like me, I ain't going to do nothing for you. I'm not going to support you. I'm not going to help you in any kind of way if you don't think like I think. You're a Muslim, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. You're a Christian, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. You're a Buddhist, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. What is wrong with that mindset? The religious people, when I say religious, I'm talking about way of life. They have set up a way of life for the people to follow, okay? Muslims have a way of life. Christians have a way of life. The universalists have a way of life. The Baptists have a way of life. Or Hare Krishna people have a way of life. They all have a way of life to give you, okay? Oh, boy. They all have a way of life to give you, okay? I'm just about out of time. but I want to see if I can push for another 15 minutes because I started the show a little early today. All of them have a way of life to give you, and with that way of life comes a creator. Think about it. The Muslims got a different creator than the Christians. The Christians got a different creator than the Buddhists. The Buddhists got a different creator than the Hare Krishnas. The Hare Krishnas got a different creator. The Christians have a different creator than the Confucianism people. You follow what I'm saying? Then you have the anarchists, and you have all these different kind of groups. One thing they have in common is that you were created. If you were created, that means you're less than and not equal to something in your mind. And everybody's trying to give you that something that you're not less than and not equal to. This is what we're trying to wake you up from. There's nothing greater than you in this universe because you are the universe expanding. You are the I am. And when you put the will, your will on the I am, you are untouchable. There's nothing that can stop you from doing whatever you're doing. I am that I am. That was a big statement, but we don't understand it because you don't know that you are the I am. You don't know that you are conscious energy formed in flesh. That's what God is. These are my views. Now, I'm giving you my views. I know when I cut these mics on, we're going to have a whole lot of dissension about that, but I'm giving you my views. I want you to hear it because somebody is manipulating your mind. And the key to the manipulation is the first to get you to submit that you're less than and not equal to. Once they get you there, they'll find somebody to make you less than or not equal. Wait a minute. We're off the air. Hello? Oh, man. Then it shut me down. Hello? Hello?